Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hang on, do yourself a favor. Log on to the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. Listen for 1 hour to this fine radio program. Your chance to win your share of $5,000 a day. It's just that easy. You'll automatically be entered to win if you are signed up, and make sure you log in so they know you're there. So Odyssey app or odyssey.com and listen to The Rock. Okay, our question, who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of and how? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
All right, so I was in Greece during COVID with the military, and we were put on lockdown because, you know, they had so many per 100,000 or whatever cases. And so they were, like, super strict, and a lot of us were getting, like, super shaggy, wanted haircuts. And I got the down low that there was a dude who I could WhatsApp, and he would be like, so he texted me, and he goes, all right, if you're going to come, show up at this time and bring a box, like a package. And I was like, all right. So me and my buddy John go down there, and we walk up, and we duped the cops because the cops kept trying to stop us. And we're like, no, delivery, delivery. And they're like, what? And I'm like, delivery, man. And we walk up to the front of his, like, really nice barber shop and knock on the door. And he goes, oh, thank you. Come in, come in. And he took us up. He took us up to his private, like, haircutting place and gave us free beer. And, like, he's like, tell your friends. And he was a really good barber. He's like, tell your friends. So I told all my friends and, all my coworkers, everybody that I worked with in the Army. And I was like, hey, man, go to this guy. Hit him up on WhatsApp. Tell him Wes sent you. And so everyone went to this dude. And so right before we were getting ready to leave, this was during like December of 2020. In January of 2021, they started lifting restrictions. So I go down there to get one last haircut before we left to go back to America. And he goes, Wes, my friend, come here. And I was like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, you're first in line. And he gave me like a whole barber's bag of like products and combs and all this crazy stuff. And he goes, the reason my family ate is because you sent all of your coworkers, all your military friends to me to get haircuts. And that's how I kept food on the table.
Yep.
Nice, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Wanted a haircut. Turns out you're doing good.
I'm surprised somebody just didn't have a pair of clippers being the military. You couldn't just get a buzz cut, you know?
Right.
One of those
dudes. Oh, yeah, but it's not a real barber. They don't know how to line you up.
Right, like, exactly.
And then he was like, go next door, and this is in Volos, Greece. He goes, go next door, and it was a bourbon bar that had just recently reopened, and he said, whatever you get, it's on me, and tell the owner it's on me. And I was like, so I had never had, like, James or Jack Daniels bottled in bond, and I was like, I'll try that.
How messed up did you get?
I didn't drive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. All right. It's amazing to me how cheap Jack Daniels is everywhere but here.
Yeah, it's staggering, man.
Yeah. Look, man, I'm getting through the customs in Zambia. The guy's like, it's $20. And I'm like, it's $20. He's like, yeah, or in Zimbabwe, in American. And I was like, I got to be honest with you, man. I do not have cash. And he's like, you don't have cash? And I was like, no. So I got a card. So you can run a card. He said, we don't take cards. And so the people behind me were listening to this. And they're like, do you have 20 bucks?
Yeah.
Do you have cash? You know, like, no, we don't have cash. And so eventually he takes me around the back of this thing, of the booth, you know, when you're coming up to customs. And he begrudgingly, like, bends down underneath the counter down there and takes one of the swipers out and swipes my card and goes, here, and hands it to me.
Because now he's only getting, like, $18.25 or something.
Believe me, they were pocketing this money.
Oh, of course.
As much as they could.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But he's only going to get about $18.25 out of this because now he's made a legit sale as opposed to, man, just give me $20, no questions. Right. That's what I love about duty-free. And the first time I did duty-free, coming back from Mexico. So, like, when I'm at an airport, man, you know, because there's no sense of humor there. It's all federal. Everyone's dead serious. So I tend to answer questions as honest as I can, but I don't necessarily understand what the bigger meaning is. So I go to duty-free and got a couple bottles of Jack and got, I think they took it down to 3 cartons now, but at the time, you could get 5 cartons of smokes, right? And dirt cheap because that's what they're worth. So I got my 5 cartons. We land in Phoenix, and, you know, anything to declare, I'm like, I got this crap at duty-free. And so the guy, he opens up the cigarettes, and he says, and this was just a weird question to me. He says, how many cartons of cigarettes are those? I said, there are 5 cartons of cigarettes. I said, what is your intent with these? And I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to open them, and then, as is done traditionally, I'm going to light the white end and suck hard on the orange end, and we call that smoking. I just thought the guy was completely stupid. I had no idea. So then he looks at me. He's like, God damn it, man. I mean, do you plan on selling them? I'm like, oh, no, not at all. I was like, these are all for me. I see what you're about now. He's like, right. We want to, because a lot of people, I guess, will come back and sell packs of cigarettes, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, man. See, that makes sense. But when you said, what's your intent? I'm like, it's a cigarette, so we light one end. And I was not trying to be a smartass. I was just trying to break it down for someone who I perceived to be really, really incredibly stupid. I had no idea what they meant.
Yeah.
So now I feel like that. Would you have known, Ted?
It's your first time. I would have said to smoke them.
Yeah, I think there's, what else do you do with them? So that's why I wanted to explain kind of what the process was, because I'm like, if you don't know what cigarettes are for, and I say I'm going to smoke them, that's not going to make any sense to this idiot either. Turns out right. I was the idiot. I just didn't know. So I'm like, well, so I did break down, and he let me finish and then just gave me a look. But he finally just broke out what they meant was, are you going to sell these? Oh, Jesus, no. Sorry, man. I had no idea that is what you meant.
Right. At the airport, a lot of time, the customs or whatever, they just ask you beyond simple questions to see how do you react, right? When we were coming back from Germany,
yeah,
we were kind of in a hurry, and that guy, you know, what are you doing here? See how, and he just goes, "Who's your favorite player?" And I was like, I guess DK Metcalf, right? But it just, I don't know. I love the Seahawks, but I'm not one of those people that talks about my favorite player. It just caught me off guard. But I was like, oh, he's just seeing if I'll answer.
But you know, when we first moved to Seattle, and this does not happen much, especially post 9/11, we had one way tickets from Baltimore to Seattle. I don't know if it's still the same, but at the time, I guess if you buy a one-way ticket, they flag you for being a potential threat, right? Because you have no plan to return to where you're coming. But we were moving here. But the thing about moving here was, basically, we're going to land in Seattle, we're going to get a cab, we go to the radio station, and then they're going to let us know where we're staying, et cetera, et cetera.
We're not in a hotel.
Right. So, but we don't know what hotel. We're going to have to stop at the station first. So the guy, I remember he's asking me the questions. He's like, says here, it's a one-way ticket. I'm like, that is correct. And he says, why is it a one-way ticket? I said, believe it or not, I got a job here. And look, just at the time, I understand that looking at us, you'd be like, nobody hired you and bought you a ticket to fly out here to get a job. So he's like, what's your address going to be out here? I said, I do not know. Okay, well, where are you going to stay? I do not know. And there were like 3 other questions. I'm like, he goes, how do you not know the answer to any of these questions? I said, because you're asking me questions that I do not know the answer to. So I will answer your question gladly if you ask me something I know, like my favorite color, my name, Ted, in your case, my favorite football player. I can tell you that. But I don't have answer to these questions. But as I'm going through this, I'm like, this really does sound bad. I'd be suspicious of this guy, too. And then I want to say, Ted, you were right behind me or something, right?
And yeah, because I got pulled aside as well,
too. Are you with this guy? Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, just go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of COVID.
But I mean, think about it. Yeah. Do you know where you're staying? No. It's a one-way ticket. Yes. Who bought it? A company. Guys, it's like BS. I'm like, I don't know how to answer these questions.
Well, like, when I went to London, I was traveling with somebody else.
Yeah.
We weren't technically, to me, we were not traveling together.
Right, because it's separate tickets and you're all adults.
Right. But when I got up in line at Border Force, right, you're waiting. That's what they call their...
Border Force.
Yeah, it sounds Border better Force. Than Homeland Security.
That sounds like a TV show, doesn't
Border
it?
Border Force. But same thing. I don't realize, and it's another radio person, right? It's Jubal. I don't realize Jubal is on my six. And the guy's like, you traveling alone? Yes. What are you here for? Seahawks game. Who's that? And I turn around. I'm like, God damn it. I guess I'm traveling with him.
Like, we're buddies.
Like, right, I'm like, we came over together. But, then it's like, I'm like stumbling and bumbling. Like, I'm not with him.
I'll tell you what. I've had to tell my kid, my son. My son's a smart ass, which I do appreciate. My wife always, he gets it from you. I'm like, I know, but there's times where you can't crack a joke. So, especially if we travel internationally, right? You got the passport. And inevitably, if your kids are like 12 and under, they do ask them, who are you traveling with today? No, is this your mother? Is this your father? So the woman starts with me this time. She's talking to my son. Sees his name. Is this your name? He says, yes, it is. How old are you? He says, it all matches up. And she points at me and goes, is this your father? Dude turns around, looks at me, points and goes, this guy? And I mean, you see the look on this woman's face. I'm like, dude. He's like, yeah, man, that's my dad. So I had to pull him aside. I said, look, dude, I appreciate the humor, but I said, I swear, in an airport, just it's the opposite of a comedy club. These people do not laugh
right.
about anything.
Didn't your daughter bust you at the movie theater?
Yeah. I want to say it was, I can't remember the age cutoff was, to save money on the tickets, right? So I think it was like six or seven years old. If they're that age or younger, the tickets are like $350 a pop. If you're an adult, they jump up to about $10.50. And I don't remember the movie. It's not a movie I want to see. I'm taking them. So I said, listen, guys. No, it was my son. So listen, guys, when we get up there, I'm going to ask your age, all right? And so tell him, I look at my daughter. I said, say you are six. Look at my son. You're fine the age you are. They're like, got it. So go up there. How old are you? My son gives his age, which is honest. And then my daughter gives her age, and she's kind of smiling. And my son's like, well, no, my dad just told her to say that. I'm like, dude. So again, the guy's like, 10:50? I'm like, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. When COVID first started, he was the last caller talking about COVID. Initially, if you remember, you basically could not do anything. There was nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And then they started to slightly, as I like to call it in Washington State, enact the California-Oregon rules on everything. So then they started loosening up the same things that California and Oregon did. But at the time, initially, Oregon said, look, if you want to, you can still play golf as long as you walk and you're separated. You know, it's not a big deal. Well, they didn't have that in Washington. So I was driving down there, a couple times a month, getting a hotel room just so I could play some golf. Because I was going stir crazy.
Yeah.
But then I found out that there was a golf course here in Washington where it was owned by a single individual, almost the same thing as this guy was saying. He could not keep his lights on unless he kept that golf course running.
Sure, sure.
So he basically was doing a cash only, no transaction rounds of golf.
Yeah.
All right. So you had to walk. You had to maintain your social distance. He made sure about that. When you walked in there, he was, in fact, wearing a mask. He was just, he was adamant about the fact.
Cash.
You know, I am not getting a paper trail on this. I need to pay my bills.
Correct.
He eventually got busted.
Oh,
and they tried to shut him down. He reopened again, just like, F you. You know what I mean?
Sure.
This is, we're all separated. We can all do this. So we would drive down there. But there were a couple times.
Or up there.
Yeah, that case was down. trying to help. Oh, yeah, up there. Well, he already got busted. He's still busy. But,
Ted's trying to throw you the lifeline.
No, it was south. Actually, it was in Kent. It was in town.
There might have been a monkey on the loose. Yeah. But, there was a time where, there's a horn as well that he's got. He's got a bullhorn. And he says, look, man, he said, a couple weeks ago, some people are out here writing down the license plate numbers. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And he's like, no, he's like, I'm not sure what was going on. I don't know if it was like a private citizen doing it to turn this stuff in. I'm not sure if it was whatever the deal is. He's like, but just know if you hear the bullhorn twice, just get your ass back in here, get in your car and leave.
All right.
So that fortunately that didn't happen, but he was diligent on the lookout. Now, on that same tip, I've got a question because I was thinking about going down to Oregon. And at one point in time, my buddy, he was cleaning the rug or the carpet in my bedroom, and he accidentally hit the dresser and he knocked the TV down off of it.
Okay.
And it smashed all over the floor.
It's an accident.
To the point where it was broke. All right.
And I happened to be going to Oregon within a couple weeks. I did not do this. I kind of just, it spaced on me. But I was going to go down there and buy a television.
Yeah, not because, sales tax.
Because I didn't want to pay the sales tax. Because it was going to be about a $400 or $500 television. And at 10%, you know, I'm talking $50-$60. I'm like, why don't I just buy the TV down there?
Yeah.
Now, is that illegal?
I've heard different conflicting things about
like if
it.
If I live in Vancouver,
but I've never
Washington.
Heard it from a lawyer.
Why would I buy anything in Vancouver, Washington?
I wouldn't. If I lived there, yeah, I'd absolutely go over the
wait
state
wait a minute, is it illegal to buy it in another state because they don't have sales tax?
But big ticket items, right? So it's I'm one talking, thing, yeah. Like if you go to Delaware, one thing about Delaware on the East Coast, it's tax-free. And you can go. You can buy all kinds of clothes, and but you can buy $10,000.
People do shopping excursions
worth of clothes, but you don't hear about a lot of people buying big ticket items. Like people aren't going there to buy cars; they go there and they buy clothes and they buy socks, and you can buy school supply, like school supply stuff. This is a great time for Delaware, but I don't know. And I have some relatives that live in Philly, right? And I've never heard of any of them intentionally crossing the state lines to buy. To buy the big thing. I don't know what the rule is on that. There might be a cap on how much you can spend on there. Like I said, I haven't had a lawyer give me an answer on
their sales tax. You have to understand, in Pennsylvania, their sales tax is not as big because they have a state tax.
Correct. But so you still have, save money by if you take away sales tax anywhere.
That's why people go to the outlets in Delaware.
But like I said, but they're not buying cars there so much. Or I don't hear about guys.
Well, no, but I mean, I've definitely gone to those outlets and spent $500.
Easily. But if it's like $500 worth of little things, you don't seem to get dinged. But if you came back and said, I bought this one $500 TV, then suddenly it seems to become a problem.
I take a truck down there. I want a washer and dryer. All right. I know I'm going to drop well over $1,000, probably $1,500.
All right.
Something on that on a washer and dryer. I got a truck. I'm bringing it back. They're not going to ask for my ID to buy a washer and dryer.
No, well, Oregon doesn't care.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is that.
It doesn't matter to them.
Is that illegal?
I don't. I mean, it's kind of like. You ever seen those videos of, like, on Sundays when there's football on? Of, like, you know, like, in Washington, right? We can't use betting apps on our phone.
Right.
But you can in Oregon. So I don't know if the...
A lot of people will drive across their place of bets and drive back.
Yeah, there's photos of some state in the Midwest where people are just lined up on, like, an exit ramp.
Just
because they're in the other state to place their bets, and then they'll just turn around and drive home.
Yeah.
Well, that's the... Yeah, I don't know, that, or maybe if you get busted, then you owe Washington State the sales tax. I don't know. You know, because, like, if you, I don't know, if you buy a washer dryer, it's getting delivered. You're not putting it in the back of your car. So they would know, I guess, but I don't know. If you would have bought a new car.
All right, for an example.
If you're ding you on that, right? So say I buy a new car in Oregon, and I'm not doing this, say, I'm just buying a new car in Oregon because that's where the guy is going to sell it to me, whatever the case is. I drive back to Washington. Well, obviously, I have to register here in Washington. Are they going to, if they find out that I bought it in Oregon, do they ding you and put the sales tax on the car, right? So I bought it for $30,000 straight up, and then when they find out I bought an Oregon, are they going to charge me $3,000 to cover the sales tax on it? I don't know.
If you look at, like, the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene border there, right?
Oh, hang on. Someone says, I bought a car in Oregon. They will charge you tax when you get here. You can't get around unless you register there first. So you'd have to register your car in Oregon, which means you need the fake address. Then you can say you moved up here from there. All BD, you got any info?
Yes. The last truck I purchased in Oregon. Before I left the dealership, after paying for the truck in total, in cash, in case you're wondering, they apply the Washington State sales tax to the county that I live in there.
Okay, so they take care of it then.
You leave there. If you buy a vehicle private party there, you go to register it here, you have to pay the sales
tax.
What
if I buy $3,000 in appliances and put it in the back of your truck?
I don't know. When I lived in Chicago, my morning guy who was a weatherman on NBC5, his mom lived in Portland. He'd fly out here for the holidays, come back, and he bought me an Xbox and a flat screen TV, and he didn't pay any sales tax, and no one questioned him on it. So I would tell you that everyone looks for the loophole, and he found it.
Okay.
Well, this guy puts it best. He says, look, cars are charged taxes based on where they're going to be licensed. It's pointless to buy in Oregon. You might as well just buy here.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, not that big of a ticket item, but something like, you know,
but you're right. If you want to buy the best air fryer, microwave, and
I don't think they're going to ding you on
a KitchenAid mixer. You don't have to register
that. I'll just go to a Costco there. Or I still have a Costco card.
I think the difference is, if you don't have to register, they're not going to know. And you can fit the air fryer in your car. I think if you wanted to go to Olympia and say, hey, guys, listen, I bought this $200 air fryer in Oregon. I owe you $20. Okay, we would not have dinged you for it. But if you want, now that you told us, yes, you owe us $20.
It's an interesting dynamic if you ever crossed that line between Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. Because right before you get to the border, there are no less than six marijuana distributors.
Oh, easy,
On the Washington side. When you get across that line, there are gas stations because there's no gas tax as severe as it is in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
There are strip clubs. And those strip clubs serve alcohol. And they are packed. And there are liquor stores because there's no
sales tax. And it's all Washington plates.
And they are packed. And it's almost like when the Canadians come down to Bellingham to shop at Costco for the weekend.
Yeah.
It's almost the same trick.
It's like I have heard, it's like if you went to watch a football game in South Bend, Indiana, it's only like a half hour drive over to Illinois to get weed.
Oh, really?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
That's what you've heard, huh? Yeah.
Our question, who got scammed, duped, or taken advantage of, and how? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
It's a party, Bicholas. You are invited, and once again, it's absolutely free as we celebrate the 20th anniversary lager with a little bit of a launch party. Friday, February the 7th, the show is live from 2 till 6 at the Black Raven Brewing Facility in Woodinville. Stop by, try the brand new 20th anniversary lager as we kick off the new year and the beginning of our 20th anniversary celebration.
And what I've decided to do, Miles, you see, I'm going to wear one of the flannels from the rock shop that they gave us, you see, because the idea is, follow along if you can, Mike. See, when I wear the flannel, because it's got that red and black and all that, I will look like a logger, you see, to celebrate our loggers. See what I did
there? You're like an L-O-G-G logger.
That is right. Okay. So I'm going to look like a logger while I drink our lager. That is my thought process.
We know for a fact that
you
got to
wear the big, thick suspenders.
Yes.
I don't have those, but if I can get a coonskin hat, that would be ideal.
Just go out your backyard.
Do you know what loggers look like?
I'm going old, so I'm thinking Paul Bunyan. Like, to me, name another logger. Who is more famous than Paul Bunyan as a logger?
Mr. Warehouser.
Well, it's Mr. Warehouser.
I don't know, but Warehouser was massive around here. They did all the logging.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have loggers that are fans of the show every time I meet them.
I know.
They got that round hat, hard hat on, and they got those thick suspenders.
Yeah, well, that's them. I'm going Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
You're going to look like a dude. Try to look like a dude.
Which is exactly what I will be. A dude who's trying to look like a dude that is a logger while obviously not being a logger at the same time.
Yeah. The 20th anniversary Men's Room Lager launch party, Friday, February 7th, as we broadcast live from 2 until 6. We already told the engineering staff, do not bring the phone lines.
Don't bother.
When you show up, you are going to be part of the live studio audience, and you will participate in the entirety of the show.
That's right. We plan on playing Naked Twister. That's going to be awesome.
We're doing it that way, yeah. We're throwing down.
Management says don't, but I'm feeling it. Apparently, there's a lot of baby oil left over from Diddy after they raided his house. So I'm like, well, let's put it to use.
Yep. Found out today that the Men's Room IPA, and you guys are buying it like crazy, and we're doing a lot of good for the Fisher House.
Oh, yeah, we got to count on that.
Available in over 2,000 locations.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to do the same with the 20th anniversary lager as well and see if we can get it as many locations as possible. Just know we know for a fact right now, Fred Meyer has it as well as QFC.
Yes.
And as we get more locations along the way, we will let you know. So hopefully you can stop by the party, get one on draft there at the brewing facility. It's a great place. The bar staff is amazing. Everyone there always has a good time. And we're going to do it again as we kick off our 20th year here on the air at KISW.
And by the way, we kind of unexpectedly, we saw the equivalent of how many cans of the Men's Room IPA we've sold since we launched it. Okay, so and that includes kegs, whatever. But they break it down to can size. About 270,000.
Yeah.
And then according to Castle, he said 25% of which were in this studio alone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but nevertheless, the point was made. Yes, we understand. Miles, we were talking about sales tax, right? You go to Oregon.
Yeah, just curious.
To buy something.
What's legal? What's so a lot is of that people, a scam?
It is, kind of. So a lot of people chimed in, all right? So they say, look, Oregonians, believe it or not, they can buy anything here in Washington State tax-free just by showing their ID. Now, as far as being from Washington to going to Oregon, somebody says, look, I purchased all my wife's jewelry in Oregon. I don't pay the sales tax, but again, they don't have to get it shipped. It's just in a car. No one's really going to check. This guy, I don't know how he pulled it off, says, I bought a used excavator in Oregon, didn't pay the Washington tax. And then you brought up, you made the joke about people in Canada crossing the border to Bellingham.
Well, there's a little joke that if you go to the Costco in Bellingham, you're the only American there.
Yeah, somebody said, I used to work at Sears and Customs from Oregon. I'm sorry, wrong one. It says, working retail in Bellingham made me hate Canadians. So I guess the Canadians are trying to pull what we're trying to pull.
Yeah, but they do. That's their weekend adventure.
Well, they can.
Yeah, I guess with everything, can. Groceries. I mean, there's a cooler in the back of the
They don't
the
get
truck.
Tagged when they cross the border back into Canada, I guess.
I don't know. I know for a fact that at one point in time, I was more nervous because my wife had bought a case of wine in Canada at a winery. And when they asked us if we bought any alcohol or brought anything like that, I said no. And then they searched the car And there's a case of, you know, six bottles of wine.
Oh, it's a case.
I'm like, Jesus, man. I'm always worried about weed or whatever the deal is. And it's the wine that's going to get us because of the tax.
I mean, I have a buddy that him and his wife are a great house. They always host. So, like, if I go to Oregon, like, I'll almost always come back with a case or, like, six bottles of tequila.
Well, you'd be, yeah.
So, okay, yeah.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, for some reason, I don't know what it is, the liquor stores in Oregon seemingly have a better selection of stuff. And so if you're going to buy a bottle of, like, you know, something very expensive, this is when it really helps you. Because not only do they have it, and they have higher-end stuff that you've never seen, you're just not paying that, you're not paying that crazy tax.
Yeah.
So if you got a $100 bottle that you want to buy, you know, it's here. There, it's, you know, 75.
Well, based
bucks.
On this guy's text, just drink it there. It says, look, it is technically illegal to purchase any item in Oregon that's not intended for use within the state of Oregon. If the intended state of use is Washington, then it is technically illegal not to pay the sales tax. But the state enforcement doesn't exist. But say I go to Oregon, all right, and I buy a box of condoms. Now, we cross over the Washington, so we are now back in Washington. Me and the wife decide, man, we're going to do it right now, right here, right now. Sure, they're going to get us for having, you know, public sex and all that, but then would they look at my receipt and say, son, you bought these condoms in Oregon. You clearly are using them in Washington State. You also owe us the sales tax on this box of condoms.
Well, it's equivalent of a lot of the restaurants moving out of King County because of the minimum wage.
Right.
So it's not that the restaurants are shutting down. It's the fact that they're moving out of the area so they can still afford a little bit less of a price in rent and the fact that as far as the payroll goes. So they are doing that to get out of that deal. You know, so it's like property tax or anything else.
Right,
know, like,
right, right.
You understand the scam behind it. Speaking of scams, the latest scams you need to be aware of in 2025.
Oh, cool. I'm glad we have a yearly update.
They say the new year doesn't necessarily bring about a shift in scam tactics. In fact, over the years, they've got more new technology and are playing off recent events. There is a general sense that scams and fraud have become increasingly common around the world. And the Global Anti-Scam Alliance reports that last year alone, people were scammed out of $1
trillion. $1 trillion.
God. I'll ask you guys if you've ever known anyone or ever been a part of any of these scams.
All right.
AI scams. The clearest example of scammers using the new technology comes from the explosion of artificial intelligence. The FBI, they actually put up a public service announcement and listed some of the ways that criminals use generative AI to trick their victims. They also highlighted the increasing role of AI in scams around the world and noted the deepfake-related crime increased by more than 1,500% in the Asia-Pacific region.
Damn.
In the last year. So this was a big one. Tools generally get classified by the type of content they generate, such as text, images, or videos, and scammers can use them to enhance different types of popular scams. So there is what's called phishing and smishing.
Smishing.
Yeah, scammers can use AI to write more convincing and natural-sounding phishing emails and text messages.
Okay.
All right. Images. They can use images to quickly create eye-catching websites, social media ads, fake identification documents, explicit photos that they use to try to shake down the people.
I know a lot of celebrities are getting mad about that because people that don't post any, like Taylor Swift, I want to say, what was it, like middle of last year or something? And look, she has the powerhouse lawyers, but they're like, look, she appreciates that you find her attractive. Stop making porns with her image, right?
Also fake and clone voices. Next up, we have imposter scams. Almost always, people are hiding their identity. Imposter scams are one of the most common types of scams or fraud because the category is fairly broad. These do happen when the scammer pretends to be a friend, relative, celebrity, politician, business person, government agent, delivery person, or company representative. And they are so prevalent that they have their own name, such as the grandparent scam, which doesn't actually always involve a grandparent, but most of the time it does.
Sure.
There are also romance scams, which sometimes involve platonic rather than romantic relationships. According to the Federal Trade Commission, about 20% of people targeted by an imposter scam in 2023 lost money. So 1 in 5. The median loss is around $800. Damn. They also report the government imposter scams in particular led to a massive increase in losses during the first 3 months of 2024. The median loss there, $15,000.
Damn, man.
Yeah. What else do we have? Then we have Imposters that start with phone calls, they've increased 67% in the last year. Text messages and emails are becoming a preferred method of first contact. I have a question for you guys, because I get one of these a day, and it's a text message. Hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. What have you been up to? Blah, 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 blah. How is that the initial part of the scam? In other words, what is the, I push report to junk. Mm-hmm. I don't see that number again.
As you should.
But
what if you're seriously lonely? What if it's a fairly new phone?
That's what
phone?
I'm saying. What is the typical outcome of people who would write back, whose number is this?
Well, like anything.
Exactly. So
right, you get a lot of that, and you just play the odds, right? It's like being a medium when there's an audience of people, and you go, somebody's lost someone important to them. Okay, you already narrowed that down. It's a male. So now you got 50-50. Their name starts, is it an M or a J? Because they're the two most common names, and someone's going to yell, it's Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take you from there.
What I've found is that you'll say you got a wrong number, or no, I don't know you. And then, sorry, my bad. And hey, I'm always in the market for new friends. Hey, let's keep in contact. They'll find their way to continue to talk to you. And then at some point, they're going to ask you for money.
Right.
At some point, they're going to need you. You can subscribe to their account. If they're fishing for dudes who don't mind, getting some nude selfies, they'll send you a couple teasers, and hey, you can get the good stuff over here on my premium Snapchat. You just have to send a credit card over to here.
It's just responding.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, somehow they can suck your information if you just respond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was afraid of.
I know it's big on emails. I'm with you. I don't answer. And also, people don't generally send those texts.
No.
Unless somebody's like insane, but generally, even if it's somebody I think I kind of know, like I'll be like, this is Ted, by the way.
Yeah, I never respond, and I've used that excuse even for the corporate emails. Do we see the same? It looked different, man. I don't want to click on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's your training module, Thrill. Do the damn thing.
Do it.
Sextortion. That's a scam that's targeting children and teens.
That one is terrible.
That's horrible because of who it targets. These are kids, and that's just such a whole different.
Yeah, I watched a whole special on that, and some of these kids end up, like, committing suicide and this and that.
Oh, yeah, it's bad, bad.
Yeah, and that's basically based on the fact that they have been convinced that they're talking to a girl, they send a nude photo, and then they're being extorted from that type of situation.
Correct.
That's exactly it.
Well, like I told you, I got an email the other day that said that. And
We
know your porn history.
Yeah.
We know what kinky things you're into.
We reverse the camera on your phone, and we have, like, video evidence of you masturbating.
Right. I'm thinking to myself, what is so kinky about bestiality? And I'm that's my first flag. It's like, okay, well, I know me. I know what I look at, and trust me, it's not exactly kinky.
Right.
I'm sure I can define what this is, and I am not in the kinky category when it comes to brunettes with big boobs.
Sorry. I think people would be more disappointed in what I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that ain't even interesting.
I don't know. Even the kinkiest thing I look at, I don't care.
Yeah,
That was kind of my first flag. Okay, this is a bunch of crap, And then as I go down, we have access to your camera on your phone, and we have videos of you pleasuring yourself, and we know what you're watching. Again, I don't watch porn on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm, now.
Well, in theory, it's just going to be you looking at me laying in bed, like staring at the phone.
That's what I mean.
Ooh,
like,
release it.
Yeah, it's not like I'm putting it
it's
down
an
there.
It's inference that you're masturbating. Otherwise, I just see you staring into the camera, blinking every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's it. Like, you're right. Who?
But the number was so
who,
weird.
Like, gets their entire image right. on their phone of them masturbating?
I mean, if you're sitting in front of a computer, I can fathom
maybe.
It.
But you have a phone.
With the phone.
Do you
like,
watch it at arm's length? They get as far away as a can.
Right. How do you know what he's done? Like, all of a sudden, the camera drops down.
Right.
Oh. Right. Like, ooh, you got me.
Look at that.
Right.
Right there. there are romance. Well, by the way, the number was weird. It was like $3,142. Send that, and I'll make sure that none of
it. I mean, look, it's happened, right? My dad, when he was alive, he got bilked out of like 30 G's.
Damn. How? Same what thing. Was the what was the scam?
Now. Yeah, I won't lie to you. I think he might have been signing up, watching some OnlyFans stuff or something.
Okay, all right.
So he was already a little sketch, right? He was one of those, can I use your computer for what? all right.
That is the sign.
Right, because he didn't know enough to like be smooth about just putting the icon away. But I don't know. Somebody called him and was like, your computer's about to break. We got to do this or that. And yeah. So by the time he calls me and I'm just like, come on. You know, but he was older. He got bilked out of it. And then my mom just had it happen to her. Somebody called her and was like, you know, something happened, blah, blah, blah. She gets all flustered. I was more annoyed with the bank. They let an 80-year-old woman just show up out of the blue and withdraw $8,000. But luckily, she called my sister, and then my sister was like, all right.
And kind of. Did she ever tell your sister where that money was going to go?
She was very confused. Like, she. Her mind is there, but she has slight signs of, like, Alzheimer's coming in.
Yeah. Okay.
So she just got super confused. So I don't, we never figured out what exactly, but somehow they had convinced her, like, almost like a ransom. Like, you need to pay this or somebody's going to get hurt.
Damn.
So she went to the bank, got it out. At some point, she realizes enough to call my sister, who luckily was at work and looked at her location, was like, you're 2 miles from me, I'll come get you. But that's, you know, so then my mom, again.
Does your mom know that your sister has air tagged her?
Yes.
She does. Okay.
So like I said, like, unfortunately, it's in the very early stages. So she's pretty much there 90% of the time.
Right. But the 10% could be dicey.
Correct. So that's the other thing, too. She'll, you know, once in a while, she'll be like, hey, you know, your sister took the car. And I go, yeah, I know. You drove to the bank and took out $8,000 and extra pants.
But damn.
The car's gone.
She also used the bathroom?
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
So that's one of those things where you're like, all right. And those people are just scumbags. So as soon as my sister, because my sister was smart and just said, okay, you're supposed to call him back. Now she's sitting with her, calls him back. My sister said two things. And of course, it's
click,
click.
Yep.
And then you try to call him back and the phone's disconnected.
Right. Okay. Then we have romance scams, which we brought you the story of Brad Pitt, the woman in France who gave $875,000.
But with that romance scam.
Well, it wasn't even romance. It's the fact that I don't know if she was just trying to help him from his kidney cancer treatments or she was really legitimately thinking she was in a relationship with Brad Pitt.
She believed that she was in a relationship, and part of that also worked with AI because the pictures that these guys supplied to her, they basically AI photoshopped him in the hospital getting dialysis and all the rest of this stuff. And also for her, you know, I'm looking at this picture and you're like, all right, seems legit.
Okay. So phone-related scams. Let's get into this because these are the ones that I seem to get the most. All right. So it said, scammers may contact you by phone. Some phone scams rely on smartphones and the capability to access the internet and install malware. Now, these phone-related scams include the following. Robocalls, where people's phones are ringing nonstop with increasingly natural-sounding recorded voices. They offer everything from auto warranties to vacations or issue a threat to try to get your attention. Robocalls can even respond to your questions using pre-recorded or AI-generated messages.
Jeez.
All right. Now we have malicious apps. And scammers may try to get you to install a malicious app to steal your information. Or they might create a nearly identical copy of an existing app and then make money from in-app purchases. Recently, there were reports of malware that could infect your phone and trick you into calling the scammer when you try to call your bank.
Damn.
Okay? QR codes.
If you are that sophisticated, why wouldn't you just get a nice high-paying job? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can do all of that, like, you have a skill set that a lot of people would hire for. Insurance, the whole nine, that's all.
We know about QR codes, the read things like restaurant menus or help you make a payment. However, scammers, as you said, Steve, place their QR codes in inconspicuous spots, and scanning the code could prompt you to make a small purchase or enter your credentials on a lookalike website. Some scammers even go as far as printing QR codes on letters that appear to come from government agencies and then mailing those out.
I mean, I admire the sophistication. I just wish it was used for something. You know, it's like if Superman decided to rob banks instead of save the world. Man. Right? Like, you can figure out how to do this. You can make it happen. You can do it on this network. You're like, you can get a really, 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 really high job that will pay you much more than you ever make off of this scam. Mm-hmm. I have a cousin. I will not go through his whole story, but years ago, he was kind of ahead of the curve when it came to computers. And he told me his plan to get a high-paying job, as opposed to, I don't know, going to college or something like that. And he said, I'm going to do this thing, and it's going to be extraordinary at a federal level. And I'm like, I know you can do that. I don't think you should do it. Anyway, he's been working for the Pentagon for about 30 years.
So basically, he hacked into something.
Yeah, he took down the firewall and said, I did it like this, this, and this. And he knew they would come looking for him, and they did, and they found him. And he said, the reason I'm not hiding, maybe he offered, sir,
I've applied there 10 times.
There's a little bit that he had to do to make it good, but in the end, he has a very, very high-paying job at the Pentagon, and he works overseas now. But his whole thing was like, look, I'm going to take down the firewall because it's crap. and they're going to freak out, and I'm going to explain, here are your gaps, I can fix this. So, and he's one of the guys that works on all that crap. I don't even understand what he does. I just know it's way techier than anything my little brain could possibly comprehend. So with a lot of these guys, I'd almost say the same thing. Like, there's not a company in the world that would not hire you because tech security is one of the top things right now.
Right. My buddy was a genius. Political science. All the things. He got fired from just about every job I know. I mean, that I know he had. I mean, he never had a story that was like, yeah, I loved it, man. Stayed there for a long time. Moved on to something else. Like, fired. Didn't show up. This, blah, blah, blah. So I was, I can't remember what the hell the name was. He's like, you're going to get a call because he applied for a an enforcement position.
Okay.
So I got a call from the feds, and I had to act like, and I had, he gave me all the information that I was his manager for 3 years at this location. And they asked me all the questions. Did you know of any drug use? Did you know of any of this stuff? No, sir. He was always on time and never had a thought in my mind that.
May have been high, but he did his job.
Yeah, I mean, he stole my weed, but you know, smoked it all the time.
But I never saw him get high.
Act like he did. My bag increasingly got smaller. And no matter where I hid that stuff, he found it. There was times I'm like, Chant, how did you find that weed? And he's like, I just kept looking, man.
Just kept looking.
Yeah, I was like, man, I was gone for like 3 hours. He's like, yeah, but I found it, man. I was like, God.
So to come, the return of Who Sucks Less coming up at 4:30. We've got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.